You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Allen told the House Foreign Affairs Committee the air campaign is, quote, clearly degrading their capabilities. Allen is President Obama's special envoy to the coalition fighting ISIS. He told lawmakers that ISIS has now lost more than a quarter of the populated territories the group had seized in Iraq. Army Surgeon Bo Bergdahl is formally being charged with desertion. Bergdahl was released in a prisoner exchange last year after more than 4 years in captivity. Army Colonel Daniel King said Bergdahl is also being charged with misbehavior before the enemy. Bergdahl went missing from his Afghanistan base in 2009 and was captured by the Taliban. A controversial religious freedom bill will be signed into law by Indiana Governor Mike Pence today. The law allows businesses in the state to refuse service to gay customers by saying it conflicts with their religious beliefs. Critics say the measure will allow businesses to legally discriminate against residents. And a commemorative march from Selma to Montgomery is going into the history books after wrapping up on Wednesday. When they reached the steps of the state capitol, the daughters of Martin Luther King, Jr. and former Alabama Governor George Wallace shared a moment. The fathers of Bernice King and Peggy Wallace Kennedy were on opposite sides of the civil rights movement. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why you should hire from the deep end of the talent pool, six ways to determine if you're in the right career, the importance of vetting the resumes of potential hires, 10 steps to building a $10 million business, the worst mistakes job seekers are still making, and three questions you should ask yourself before a job interview. It's Thursday, March 27th, 2015, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 46 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows that today it'll be mostly cloudy with rain and drizzle throughout the day and a high of 65 degrees, a low of 42. For tomorrow, or as I call it, Road Trip Friday, as we visit George Mason University with my son Colin, it'll be partly cloudy with a high temperature of 53 and a low of 33. For Saturday, partly cloudy skies, a high of 42 and low of 24. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 48 and a low of 31. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is down 14.75 to 17,703.79, the NASDAQ down 12.40 to 4864.12, the S&P 500 down 1.78 to 2,059.27, oil is up 72 cents to $49.93 per barrel, and gold up $7.30 to $1,204.00. and 30 cents an ounce. And, of course, March Madness is continuing, and this is the season of upsets. The University of Kentucky, however, continues their perfect season in their quest for the national championship. Games begin again tonight as we enter into the round of the Sweet 16. So, I know I would love to be glued to the TV watching basketball, but tonight, like I mentioned, it's road trip time. I'm going to load up the Rambler and head on down to Fairfax, Virginia to visit George Mason University. One of about eight colleges that we have to visit with my son. And when we talk about taking care of business, obviously there is a business side to the home life, and this is one of them as far as which college he will select and which ones he likes, and more importantly, which one mom likes. So it'll be interesting to see in the who gets Colin Gano lottery which school will win, although I think the front runner right now is the University of South Carolina. So we'll have to see what he decides after all these road trips are concluded. Well, as we get into the program this week, I did want to make mention, we had a meeting last week with Richard Gerstner, Richard G., Chris Phelan from the Chamber, Chris Bianco, who's the morning host, and got a chance to talk with some of the other hosts of different shows here on the station, and talked about what they want and what they're looking for from the hosts, and also what the hosts want. And it was a very productive meeting, and I think that overall, you know, it was a good meeting, a good way to vet out some ideas. So one of the things I did want to mention, a lot of times, you know, people will say, I've been trying to listen to your show, but I'm never around the computer at noon, or maybe they had trouble downloading the app or something like that, the Live 365 app. So there is another way, and that is every day after a program, so tomorrow morning, you'd be able to access any program here on 100 in Chamber Radio on the archive section of our website, 100inchamberradio.com. Click on archives, click on the program that you're looking for and the date, and then you could be able to listen to the program in its entirety that way. So just a reminder, there are several ways. And what was interesting was to see the number of clicks, the number of unique clicks that each show was getting. And seems like I need to step up my game a little bit because I have a whole lot more listeners than I was thinking I had. So again, it's for me, it's about the quality of the content and making sure that we're informing you here on the show and that it's something that can help you. We gear it as if you are either a business owner or a manager in business or an employee. So anything related to business, that's what we want to be talking about. And if there's ever a time when you feel either that we're straying too far away from that or that you have topics that are of particular concern to you, by all means, bring them up. And email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook, and feel free to message me there and let me know what you're looking for as far as programming content. During the preview, I mentioned that you should hire from the deep end of the pool, and the question then becomes, what the heck does that mean? And very simple, baby boomers, which are those people born between 1946 and 1964, are making up 32% of the U.S. population. And if they're not working for you, if they are working for you, rather, then keep them. And if they're not, try to hire them. A Gallup poll found that about one in two boomers plan to delay their retirement for various reasons. They will remain an influential part of the workforce in the coming years, and their presence can benefit your business. Now, Gallup's research is part of an ongoing series analyzing the ways baby boomers behave differently from other generations as consumers in the workplace. Part-time work is attractive to many baby boomers, and Gallup found that they're also highly engaged employees and active in greater percentages than their younger counterparts. But like Generation Xers and Millennials, boomers have their own wants and needs in the workplace. What they want is to set their own schedules and have work-from-home options and job sharing or consulting opportunities. They want to be valued for their experience and wisdom, and while they may not be as tech-savvy as the generations behind them, boomers bring time-tested skill sets and can provide valuable insights and guidance. And they want to be able to give back. Consider using them as coaches and mentors to some of your younger employees. And quite often, aging workers are overlooked in the talent pool. Companies that see their wisdom and deep experience as valuable will reap the benefits of both. Now, I want to step away for a minute and talk about this because I have two gentlemen that we've recently, well, we hired one gentleman to run our sign shop. He had owned a sign shop for 35 years. He retired. He was basically at home sitting on the couch and, you know, came and talked to me one day and said, look, I only want to work like 2 or 3 days a week. I only want to work 4 or 5 hours. I want to keep my hand in it. And I figured that we could tap into that experience. Now, with the machines that we purchased, and a lot of the signs by Crown stores are simply doing banners and lawn signs and things like that. But by hiring Bill, we're able to go out and take on bigger jobs. We've done channel letters. We've done signs on sides of restaurants, storefronts, vehicles, et cetera, and stuff like that. And this is stuff that we probably wouldn't have touched had it not been for his experience. And he's had a great time teaching both myself and my older son, Brandon, how to do these things. And he brought with him a very valuable Rolodex. And it's not necessarily of the customers, but of the vendors that it would have taken us years to find. And here at the drop of a hat, he can just tell us you need to call this guy or that guy and he'll help you out. So very interesting when they say that they want to give back and to work with them as a coach or a mentor and being able to set their own schedule. We're very flexible with them as long as the work is getting done. And sometimes we do have to explain to them that when you're not here, the work still has to get done. So don't get pissed off if you know you find that a job you're working on had to be completed when you weren't here. And then we just brought in another gentleman, same thing, retired, very active, but did not like the prospect of just sitting at home. And you know, a little extra money in the wallet doesn't hurt as well. So he's in doing some assembly work. And as long as you're not too proud and you can handle that kind of work, then it's the right opportunity for you. Currently 12:13 at 100 and Chamber Radio. And, you know, when you're looking at whether it's a new employee or an older employee, you have to do some due diligence. So it's important that you not forget to vet the resumes of prospective candidates. Now, if you're like most managers or human resources professionals, you're inundated with resumes from applicants looking for jobs at your company. Now, sifting through the summaries of job applicants' credentials and experience can be a Herculean task. When you find the perfect applicant with a stellar background, your efforts may seem worthwhile. But unfortunately, sometimes applicants who tout amazing credentials on resumes aren't as stellar as they appear on paper. So here are some tips to avoid hiring mistakes. Often, inaccuracies, or as I like to call them, flat-out lies, will be revealed by a phone call to an applicant's previous employer or educational institution. A few simple steps can help prevent a bad hire. Number one, you want to verify applicants' degrees and schools with registrars. Number two, verify the applicant's experience with previous employers. Number three, call the references. Number four, keep in mind that the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC, takes the position that a conviction does not automatically disqualify an applicant from a job. Make sure your state's laws do not prevent you from asking applicants to disclose convictions. Number five, ask applicants to submit to background checks. Follow the procedures of the Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act and any applicable state laws. Number six, read applications and background check results and follow up if they raise any red flags. The bottom line is, these steps may sound simple, but they are basic procedures that many employers fail to follow. Ensure that you have solid vetting procedures to guard against mistakes. Perfect example of this is when I was recruiting early on in my career there, we found a great candidate and she had said that she graduated from Montclair State University. She listed her degree, as in biochemistry or something like that. And we presented her to a company. Company loved her, thought she was great, was prepared to move her to Allentown, Pennsylvania. And then they did their own background check and they came back and they said, Jim, does she have a degree? I said, well, she told me she does. It's on her resume and it's on the application that she submitted to us. And they go, does she have her degree? And I said, okay, because you're asking, I need to ask you why. And they said, well, we did a background check, and she's about 6 credits short. Call the candidate up. I said, are you 6 credits short on your degree? She goes, yeah, I need to take 2 gym classes. I said, well, by not taking those 2 gym classes, you just talked yourself out of a job. So if degrees are important, particularly with larger companies, if it's a requirement of the job, make sure, I don't care if the person has to take the diploma off the wall and bring it into the interview, bring it with them. But let them make sure that all of your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. So currently 12:16, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andchamberradio.com. We're going to step away for a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the 4 traits of successful business owners. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, signs by Crown, Crown Custom Apparel, Crown Promo, and Crown Varsity. So glad you could join us, and hope you'll visit us someday soon at Crown Trophy. We'd love to see you, and if you want, we'll even give you the tour. Just remember to exit through the gift shop. Now, there are four traits of successful business owners, and Chuck Pister, who's the CEO of Miracle Method, who's a national surface refinishing company, has a couple ideas on what he thinks is those traits. So being a type A workaholic isn't the only guarantee for small business success. These are some not-so-obvious traits that can work just as well. And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to be a high-strung overachiever to succeed as a business owner. Being a type A workaholic or an uncompromising perfectionist isn't necessarily an indicator that you have what it takes to launch and sustain a booming business, says Pister. Qualities like willingness to follow directions and being a people person tend to be greater indicators of success, leading to longevity, overall satisfaction, and happier employees. Now, according to Pister, a successful small business owner is first a good juggler. Launching and growing a small business takes focus, no doubt, but even more important is the ability to be flexible and effective in many areas. And while large companies offer the luxury of fully staffed departments to handle responsibilities such as marketing, accounting, and human resources, a small business owner must be ready to serve as a jack of all trades, often taking on all of these roles in any given day. They must be able to effectively execute on a multitude of skills and become a master in the art of delegation, Pister says. You also have to be willing to take direction and follow rules. Now, Pister believes that the franchise system sets small business owners up for success by proving an opportunity to launch their own business using a time-tested model. However, the franchise life isn't for everyone, Pister says. Those who are excited about operating a proven system are far more likely to thrive, as there is an undeniable correlation between the extent to which a franchisee follows that model and their rate of success. You should also be a people person, he says. Contrary to popular belief, a small business owner doesn't have to be an extrovert, but it's important that he or she be able to work with diverse individuals. As a small business owner, it sometimes feels as if you are, quote, on all day long, engaging with your employees, your vendors, and your customers, Pister says. Even though you're feeling less than social, a willingness to meet people and create connections is important. Understanding and appreciating the vital role that relationships play can truly set you above the rest. You should also be sympathetic. When dealing with unhappy employees or customers, a flair for really listening and making fair resolutions is in the best interest of both your business and your people, and it helps you go a long way. After all, engaged and satisfied employees are more likely to work harder and take pride in your business, which leads to positive results such as higher sales. Resolving an issue with a customer can lead to both long-term loyalty and a strong base for referrals. Ultimately, our people are some of our greatest assets, Pister says, and I think that he's totally nailed it as far as what it takes to be a successful small business owner, particularly the part about being a good juggler and then being a person, a people person, being sympathetic, and even though you're quote-unquote your own boss, being able to take direction. But more and more, as I've now owned the business for 6 years, the one thing I find helps me the most are the people skills. Whether it's an angry customer who didn't get something that they wanted on time or something, or we're going to have a slight delay, or sometimes people are just plain old mean to begin with. If you can calm down, the savage beast and just get to work with them, you'll find very often that you'll create long-lasting relationships, as he mentioned. Well, we have, a serial entrepreneur who shares 10 steps that he feels can help build your business into a $10 million business. Now, David Kirpin, who's the CEO of Likeable Media, is sharing his 10 steps that Likeable Media and Likeable Local have. He says, building a business is no easy feat, and while the wildly successful tech businesses are the most celebrated ones, the reality is that most businesses, successful or not, are smaller service businesses. Now, here are the 10 steps that David took to build his first company, a marketing agency, and a blueprint that you can use on your own business. He says, first, you want to find a trustworthy partner. Now, while not everyone can start a business with their husband or wife, it really helps to have a trusted partner that you can work with and be in it together with. For his second business, for instance, he partnered with his friend of three decades to build his product. Ask yourself, who can you partner with? Number two is you want to create a strategy and a singular focus. Now, Dave says, if you ask me what we did early on in our first business, I'd have told you, what do you need done? And if you'd asked me how much we charged, I'd have said, what's your budget? Now, while this may have worked early on to help generate revenue, it wasn't sustainable. Ultimately, too many businesses fail because they don't have a sound strategy and focus. Now, he says he's been using Vern Harnish's one-page strategic plan for both of his businesses, and his management teams meet quarterly to plan the strategy, and believe it or not, thanks to Vern's tool, they summarize the entire business plan and strategy on just one sheet of paper. You have to also be willing to say no to what's off focus. It's easier to create and plan a strategy and focus than it is to stick to it. But if you're going to be successful, it's not just important to say yes to the right things, it's important to say no to the wrong things. A major turning point in his first business was when he fired an employee named Charlie. Charlie was a Greek restaurant owner in Astoria, Queens, a super nice guy, and Charlie had him helping promote his restaurant and their special events, but he could only afford to pay $500 a month. And Dave knew that he couldn't scale the business the way he wanted to if he kept working with people like Charlie. So in effect, he fired his own client and then focused on landing bigger clients who could better help him grow. It's really hard to say no, but essential if you're going to really grow your small business. Number four, you want to find peer support. Now, as anyone will tell you, it's lonely at the top. Seriously, running a business is one of the loneliest jobs out there, even if you have a great partner. Nobody really understands what you're going through. A huge part of going from $1 million in revenue to $5 million in revenue in 3 years was joining an organization called Entrepreneurs Organization, or EO, in 2010. EO is the world's largest peer-to-peer network of CEOs, and its most important element is monthly meetings with a small group of fellow entrepreneurs called Forum. Now, Dave's Forum consists of six people and has become one of the most important resources in his business and life, his closest friends, and has become a great support system. EO is not the only game in town. Here are five great smaller business peer-to-peer organizations for entrepreneurs to consider, including BNI, the Business Networking Initiative, Vistage, YPO, and YEC. He also suggests that you form a board of advisors. Now, you can't possibly know it all, and even with a great partner and great peers, you can use help in growing your business. While it's great to have friends and mentors who can help you, he recommends that you codify your mentors through the creation of a, quote, board of advisors. In 2012, Dave asked longtime friends and mentors with a wide variety of experience and talent across various focus areas, including finance, law, marketing, brand management, and sales. He formed the Likeable Advisory Board and instantly had a group of 11 advisors who he could call on at any time and who met with him formally four times a year to help him grow his business. Now, we all have friends and mentors with more experience than we have, and by forming a board, you can better tap into that experience. He also suggests that you hire slow, but fire fast. Now, Dave has said that he had an erstwhile employee of a sales manager that had that he once said, "I don't care if the guy is putting up big numbers, the guy is doing cocaine in the bathroom with his team." Now, when Dave thinks back to the biggest mistakes he's made as an entrepreneur, he says that they all revolve around hiring the wrong people, or worse yet, keeping the wrong people for longer than they should be around. The employee in the example above was let go after that conversation, but it was probably 2 months after the point at which Dave should have let him go. What happens often is we move too quickly to hire someone, and then we end up hiring the wrong person for the wrong position. Then, even though our intuition tells us that we've hired the wrong person, we don't want to accept that fact. So we keep trying to justify the decision, coach that person to success, and or move them to a new position. This is often more damaging than hiring the wrong person in the first place. The solution, hire slow, fire fast. And number seven, build great values and culture. You and your employees spend more awake time at work than you spend anywhere else, including at home with your family. So the core values you have and the culture you cultivate at work is absolutely essential to your success and happiness. Now, Dave took great care with both of his companies to create core values that would resonate amongst them for Likeable Media, transparency, accountability, and passion. For Likeable Local, passion for small business, obsession for customer success, drive and continuous improvement. He's also worked tirelessly to build culture. Retreats out of the office, social events, unique benefits like on-site manicures and massages, and the results are that Likeable Media has been named to the Crane's Best Place to Work in New York City for 3 straight years, and it continues to attract the best and the brightest people in New York. You also have to work on building your brand. The world of the mobile internet and social media has made it easier than ever before for a small business to act and look big. One of his first decisions in business 7 years ago was to publish a daily blog. A couple of years later, he had one of the most well-read blogs in social media marketing, and that blog didn't just build his brand, it kept generating lots of leads. Today, whether it's on your blog, whether you're on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, through online video or pictures or articles or white papers, you have an ability to constantly build your brand to make your business more credible, more trusted, and more accessible to your customers and prospects. Social media is the great equalizer when it comes to building your brand, and you have a greater opportunity than ever before to make your small business brand big. Number 9, and this is one of the most important ones, I think, on any entrepreneur's list, but often overlooked, ask for referrals. Now, in late 2011, Dave and his company hit a wall. New customers weren't banging down the doorstep, and for the first time ever in business, Dave and his wife were questioning whether they could continue rapid growth. Then one of their advisors said, "Have you asked all of your current customers for referrals?" It seems so obvious, like so many good ideas after the fact. So they started to go ahead and ask, and the next thing they knew, they had filled up their pipeline again with strong prospects, and that would lead to new closed business and continued rapid growth. The best form of marketing has been and will always be referrals from your current customers, because if you're doing a good job, they'll want to help. You won't have a chance unless you ask. It reminds me of Earl Nightingale back in 1965. He said two things. The best form of advertising is a satisfied customer with a big mouth. And he also said something else that always resonates with me, and that is, all the money you're ever going to make is currently in someone else's hands. So make sure that you're asking for those referrals. And finally, Dave says, it's the people, stupid. Now, Likeable Media and Likeable Local would be absolutely nowhere without their employees, partners, and advisors. 5 of the 9 steps above that we've already talked about involve people. The reality is, your job as an entrepreneur and leader is just threefold. Set the vision and strategy, make sure there's enough money in the bank to make payroll, and get the right people in the right seats on the bus. the people you hire and fire, partner with or don't partner with, take advice from or choose not to take advice from, these people will make the difference between success and failure. These people will help you go from $0 to $500,000, or from $0 to $10 million, or even from $0 to $500 million. Your people are your business, and your people are your future success. Your people, in essence, are your everything. Now go out there, get some great people together, and build that small business of your dreams. You're listening to Taking Care of Business on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Mark Cuban's three fundamental rules for running a business.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The co-pilot of the German Wings airliner that crashed in the Alps wanted to destroy the plane. That's according to officials who say 28-year-old Andres Lubis was alone at the controls. French prosecutor Brice Robin says the co-pilot was silent after the commanding pilot left the cockpit.
No word during the 10 last minutes.
The pilot could be heard banging on the cockpit door. The passenger screamed right before the crash.
His voice recorder also indicated that just before the moment of impact in the mountainside, passengers were heard screaming in the cabin.
That was AP correspondent Angela Charlton. Iran is condemning Saudi Arabia's airstrikes on Yemen. The Saudis have been bombing key military installations targeting Iranian-backed Houthi rebels who have taken control of many parts of the country. Experts fear a regional war could be spawned by the conflict. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
Do you need a great sign to promote your business or organization? Signs by Crown of Flemington is your local professional sign shop and can provide you with high-quality banners, lawn signs, vehicle graphics, pop-up displays, window graphics, wall lettering, magnets, and much more. Signs by Crown can help you with the design, layout, creation, and installation of your signs. Signs by Crown is located inside Crown Trophy at 33 Rayville Avenue in Flemington. Remember, if you have something to say, say it with a sign from Signs by Crown. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. A quick check of the weather shows that for today, it's going to be mostly cloudy with rain and drizzle throughout the day and a high of 65 degrees and a low of 42. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy with high temperatures of 53 degrees and a low of 33. For Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 42 and a low of 24. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 48 degrees and a low of 31. I apologize for the confusion and having you listen to music a little longer than normal, but was having a few technical difficulties here as my headphones were only working in one ear, and then it would go on and go off and go on and go off. I felt like I was only catching every third word, so I do apologize for that. But now that I can hear myself, we can continue on with the show. And the show is Taking Care of Business, and it's featured right here on 100inchamberradio.com. So glad you could join us. And don't forget, if you ever miss any programs, you can always catch them on the website, 100inchamberradio.com. Go to the archive page, find your favorite show or host, and the date of the program that you missed, and then you'll be able to listen to it in its entirety. Well, Mark Cuban, throughout his career, he's made over 120 investments from large companies like Landmark Theaters to startups on Shark Tank. And for all of his businesses that he's been a part of, he's developed a set of rules that have been almost infallible that he wrote in his 2013 book, How to Win at the Sport of Business. Now I'm going to summarize the three that he uses religiously. Number one, he says, understand the difference between adding value and benefiting from a bull market. Now, in the same way that some stock market investors think they're geniuses when they keep picking stocks that go up, failing to acknowledge that all stocks are doing the same thing, Cuban says, entrepreneurs can fail to recognize that a good deal of their success is due to a fad or a trend. Now, in the same way that some stock market investors think they're genius, there is nothing wrong with going along for the ride and making money at it, but it will catch up with you if you lie to yourself and you give yourself too much credit for the ride, he writes. Cuban says that he saw this happen with professional sports leagues in the aughts or the 2000s. He says that many team owners became enamored with rising revenues from television rights deals, and they credited it to their own, quote, brilliance. He says, however, that he and his Mavericks partners recognized that revenues were actually rising due to competition among cable and satellite providers, and Cuban couldn't become complacent. It's a bigger challenge to recognize that the bull market may end, and our programming needs to have to be of sufficient value to our customers and viewers for it to maintain or continue to increase in value, he writes. Number two, he says you have to win the battles that you're in before moving on to new ones. Cuban writes that he had a chance to take Landmark Theaters international, but that any time spent on developing a global presence was not time growing its national presence, and so he decided against it. You don't have unlimited time and or attention, he writes. You may work 24 hours a day, but those 24 hours spent winning your core business will pay off far more. It might cost you some longer-term upside, but it will allow you to be the best business that you can be. And number three, he says, don't drown in opportunity. Now, if you're adding new things when your core businesses are struggling rather than facing the challenge, you're either running away or giving up. Cuban writes, he says, rarely is either good for a business. Melissa Carbone is the president of the horror attraction company 1031 Productions, tells Business Insider that after the $2 million deal she made with Cuban on Shark Tank went public, she was flooded with partnership and investment offers, some of which were quite attractive. Cuban told her to take a step back and not to let emotions make her impulsive. She says she still hears Cuban's voice in her head reminding her, don't drown in opportunity. And one of the things that he touches on there, I've said several times to business owners, don't forget what got you here, and that is your core business. For us, it's trophies, and that's 85% of our business. So when signs are doing great and apparel is doing great and promotional is doing great, that's all wonderful, but we still have to focus on the core business, the one that's, you know, basically writing those checks every week, and that is the trophy business. So we never differentiate one between the other and say that this one is more important, but we always focus on the one, you know, that's got the biggest piece of the pie. Well, I was surprised when I read this next story because you almost wonder what some people are thinking sometimes, but people are still making a ton of mistakes, especially when they are in the job seeker role. And wanted to go over some of them with you now. If you are a job seeker, hopefully you will avoid this. If you are an employer, hopefully you will recognize this and make sure that these are the types of folks that maybe you want to stay away from in the hiring process. In today's job market, applicants have enough challenges without worrying that they've made a wrong move bad enough to cost them the position. There are all kinds of theories out there about which blunders are the absolute worst. As you navigate your job search, you might worry that you are a repeat offender. Something as subtle as body language could be enough to endanger your chances. To truly understand which errors will cost you the job, you need to hear from the ones doing the vetting and ultimately the hiring. Now, CareerBuilder released two reports, one covering the biggest resume mistakes job seekers make and one of the worst interview mistakes. Based on national surveys conducted online by Harris Interactive, the reports reveal what hiring managers and HR professionals consider the biggest blunders. One survey found that 49% of employers know within the first 5 minutes of an interview whether a candidate is a good fit or a bad fit for the position. Of the more than 2,000 people surveyed, 87% claim to know for sure within the first 15 minutes. Hiring managers have seen it all, from the inappropriate to the downright bizarre. Among the most outrageous mistakes reported were a resume written in the Klingon language from Star Trek and a resume that included a full range of photos of the candidate from baby pictures to adulthood. The real-life interview stories get even sillier, with reports like an applicant who arrived in a jogging suit because he was going running after the interview, a candidate who popped out his teeth when discussing dental benefits, and one who acted out a Star Trek role during the interview. Was this the same aforementioned Trekkie applicant? I'm not sure, and we may never know. But even if you are wise enough not to make the ill-advised, albeit humorous, choices that I've mentioned, you might be surprised at what HR professionals consider to be the biggest no-nos. The following list is going to represent the percentages of hiring managers surveyed who felt each mistake was among the worst and the most common, according to employers. So here are their biggest resume and interview mistakes that current job makers are making. As it pertains to the resume, here are the biggest mistakes that job seekers are making. Resumes that have typos represent 58% of what's considered to be a big mistake. There is spell check, and there are friends who may know how to spell. So make sure that when you're about to send out that resume, that a couple of eyes have seen it, and don't rely on a spell check program, because there can be different uses for similar words like there, etc. Or where, etc. So which writes right. Resumes that are generic and don't seem personalized for the position represents 36%. Resumes that don't include a list of skills, 35%. Resumes that copied a large amount of wording from the job posting, 32%. Resumes that have an inappropriate email address. This is a huge one, because companies look at everything when they're trying to determine whether or not a candidate is a good fit. They will go on your Facebook page, they will go on your LinkedIn page, and you may not even know it. But one hint that about your personality can sometimes be your email signature. And I remember one woman that put on her resume, onehotmama@hotmail.com. And I warned her, I said, you need to create a new email address just for the purpose of getting hired. And she goes, why? I said, because they don't want to hire you necessarily to be a pole dancer. They want to hire you for your skills. And One Hot Mama never got a job. Once she changed her email address, she finally was hired. So be careful on, you know, if it's something like, you know, caseofbuds@gmail.com, you know, that may not be appropriate either. Resumes that don't include exact dates of employment. Here they feel like you're hiding something when you just put a year instead of March of a year to September of a year. Resumes printed on decorative paper. Those days are long since gone. And resumes that include a photo, 13%. So as far as the resumes are concerned, bullet point format, keep it short, concise, be exact with the dates of employment, and make sure you're listing some of your skills and or responsibilities. Interview mistakes that job seekers are making, appearing disinterested, represented 55%. So here you are in a room being interviewed, and 55% of you could care less. So don't appear disinterested. Don't dress inappropriately. That represented 53%. If you appear arrogant or too self-confident, 53%. If you talk negatively about a current or previous employer, 50%. Answering a cell phone or texting during the interview, 49%. Appearing uninformed about the company or the role, 39%. Not providing specific examples to questions being asked, 33%. Not asking good questions of the employer, 32%. If you provide too much personal information, 20%. And if you ask the hiring manager personal questions, 17%. So again, during the interview, those are the mistakes people are making. A third category was body language. Number one on the list, and this is one that I coach people on all the time, failure to make eye contact. I coach my candidates, I want you staring at the bridge of their nose and don't unlock it. Some people feel uncomfortable with that. I just said you have to, when they look up, you have to be making eye contact. If you fail to smile, 44%. Oh, failure to make eye contact with 70% of the respondents said that was a problem with regards to body language. Failure to smile, 44%. Bad posture, 35%. If you fidget too much in your seat, 35%. If you play with a pen or something on your table, 29%. If you have a handshake that is too weak, 27%. Crossing one's arms over one's chest, 24%. And that's a symbol when you're looking at body language, when you cross your arms over your chest, that you're just not listening or you're disinterested. If you play with your hair or you touch your face, 24%. Using too many hand gestures, 10%. And a handshake that is too strong represents 5%. So it was funny because I was going to mention this last week. I noticed that on this show, for some reason, I can't talk unless I have a pen in my hand. Because I've either got to mark things off on the traffic log or mark parts of the story off that I've already read. And I just find that I cannot talk without a pen in my hand. Very strange phenomenon. If I were going for a job interview, the pen would have to be in the pocket. Currently, it's 12:46. We're going to step away for our final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about three key questions to ask yourself before you go out on a job interview. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening and Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I was trying to queue up, but couldn't get it done in time. The music On the Road Again by Willie Nelson, because after this show, literally in the parking lot, is a U-Haul truck filled with about 700 trophies, and I got to head up to the Parsippany Hilton and deliver those to the MAMTG, the Mid-Atlantic Music Teachers Guild Festival, which is going on at the Parsippany Hilton. Hundreds and hundreds of kids going up to perform and be judged and then be awarded for their efforts. This is not a participation trophy by any stretch of the imagination. This is earned. These kids have to be judged. It's called blind judging, where the judges have their backs to the contestant and then they have to play their piece and then they are judged based on how well they do. So very interesting competition for everything from piano to lyrical to percussion, et cetera. So it's a very interesting thing. Takes place up at the Parsippany Hilton. And would like to thank the Mid-Atlantic Music Teachers Guild for once again selecting Crown Trophy of Flemington as their award supplier. Then from there, we got to shoot over to Diamond Nation. We got to shoot over to Michaels. Got to shoot down to a Taekwondo studio and deliver their awards. So I feel like a big trucker today in my U-Haul truck. So looking forward to that trip. And the only thing missing is the woman from the old commercial telling me that it's my turn to hold the lamp king of the road. Well, as I mentioned in the preview, there are three key questions to ask yourself before you go on a job interview. Now, many times when we talk to candidates, we talk about the need to be prepared to ask certain questions of the employer. We talk to them about being prepared to answer questions that are going to come from the employer. But here, in this story, we want to talk about questions that you should be asking yourself as you prepare for a job interview. So you should be prepared to explain how you can bring value to the company. And ultimately, every business is focused on delivering value and driving growth. So the most important thing that you can do in an interview is to show how you can contribute to those goals. And the best way to do this is by providing specific examples of how you added value in past situations. And this will help your interviewer predict that your potential for future success. So number one, ask yourself, are you inquisitive? Now, when I was in the recruiting role, I was always looking for candidates who don't just answer my questions, but who have an innate desire to learn more about what the company is doing. And this can unfold through thoughtful responses or insightful questions that reveal a person's true interest and understanding of the subject matter or discussion about the goals of the organization. Show your aptitude by trying to demonstrate your understanding of how the business and their customers make money. And before any interview, find out what is unique about the organization's products or services. If you were a customer, would you want to do business or partner with the company? And if not, why not? If so, then why? When you consider questions customers might have or unique challenges facing the company, it will create an informative dialogue. And this will help employers evaluate your value to the company. Number two, you should ask yourself, are you a problem solver? Now, in my experience, problem solving is one of the most important skills a candidate can have given the constant need of any organization to be agile and dynamic. Once you understand the tangible problems that your potential employer is trying to solve, show them that you can be creative and uncover new ways to tackle both existing and new problems. Come to the interview armed with a few examples of how you had faced a problem in the past and developed an out-of-the-box solution to fix it. It can be something very basic. Think about how you brought a fresh perspective to a tense project with colleagues, or how you managed yourself in an environment that was outside your comfort zone. If you're interviewing for a job with a unique background, this is also where you can show the value of having a different perspective that led to an innovative solution. The key is to show that you worked through the challenge by finding a creative way around it and you adjusted your expectations or you improved upon an early idea. This will help you show your potential value. Number three, this is one that takes a lot of soul searching and a lot of honesty. And that is, are you a good team player? Now, I'm a big believer in teamwork and I see small teams playing an increasingly dominant role in the future of business. The challenge for many leaders today is how to manage and motivate several small teams working together to produce something larger. Many candidates have long lists of their personal accomplishments, but few spend time thinking about teamwork, and that is a mistake. Remember, you don't have to prove that you can do everything yourself. In fact, knowing when and how to consult, collaborate, and delegate amongst diverse groups is a real skill and a key criteria for companies today. Businesses are rarely successful via isolated work of individuals. It is the collective work of groups that achieve true innovation and business results. So think of team results, how you contributed to teams in the past, and why having you on their team in the future would be an advantage. And this will help to not only show, but also grow your value in any organization. I had a president of a regulatory affairs division for a large pharmaceutical company who once told me, during your qualification process with the candidates, ask them if they ever played football or basketball or something like that. And I said, why is that important? Are you getting a team together? And they're like, no. If they've played team sports, it shows that they can work together with others. And if they have that mentality already, then they'll do fine on our team here. And made perfect sense. And then I would work on that, you know, try to get that worked into the conversation. And sometimes you come up with the, you know, violin virtuoso who never did anything other than play the violin, and that's okay too, straight A student, but when you got them into a team setting, they failed miserably because they didn't know how to contribute. It was always about them. Well, a big deal was announced recently where Heinz has made a deal for Kraft Foods to expand Warren Buffett's portfolio just a little bit larger. So ketchup maker H.J. Heinz, backed by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway and Brazilian private equity firm 3G Capital, will combine with Kraft Foods Group in a $46 billion deal to create the third largest North American food company. Shares of Kraft, known for its namesake macaroni and cheese in a box, as well as Velveeta, Maxwell House Coffee, and Oscar Mayer Processed Meats, closed up nearly 36% at $83.17 on the news. The deal gives Buffett more leading U.S. food brands, as well as that of 3G founder Jorge Paulo Lehmann, Brazil's richest man. The two teamed up to buy control of Heinz in 2013 and collaborated on the 2014 of fast food chain Burger King and Tim Hortons Incorporated, which runs coffee and donut shops through Canada. Food industry experts see Kraft benefiting from Heinz International's presence, which generates more than 60% of its sales. Craft brands are in 98% of North American households, the company said, but would have a greater opportunity to expand overseas. The combined company, which will be publicly traded under the name of Kraft Heinz Company, expects to save about $1.5 billion in annual costs by the end of 2017. 3G has a reputation for introducing aggressive cost cuts and improving efficiencies at other companies it has invested in, including Heinz and Anheuser-Busch InBev. The deal calls for the exchange of each Kraft share for one share in the combined Kraft Heinz Company, plus a special cash dividend of $16.50 per share to existing Kraft shareholders. The $10 billion behind the special dividend will be funded by an equity investment by Berkshire Hathaway. And Heinz Field in Pittsburgh will remain named as Heinz Field for the Steelers. In sports, in NASCAR, Kevin Harvick won... Brad Keselowski won last week's race out in Sonoma, California, ending Harvick's streak during the West Coast swing. Kevin Harvick placed second, which means eight races in a row Kevin Harvick has now placed either first or second, dating back to last year. In other NASCAR news, Joe Gibbs Racing president J.D. Gibbs is undergoing treatment for what is called symptoms impacting areas of brain function, which likely stem from a head injury suffered earlier in life. Joe Gibbs Racing did not reveal a specific diagnosis in a statement Wednesday, but said that Gibbs is undergoing treatment to manage symptoms that begin with speech and processing issues. The 46-year-old is the oldest son of team owner Joe Gibbs, the NFL Hall of Fame winning coach of three Super Bowls with the Washington Redskins. JGR said doctors believe the symptoms are related to previous head injuries, but no specific injury has been identified. J.D. Gibbs previously played football and had a brief career as a race car driver. He also snowboards, mountain bikes, and participates in other extreme sports. In other NASCAR news, Brian Vickers, driver of the number 55 Aaron's Dream Machine for Michael Waltrip Racing, has once again been sidelined with blood clots in his legs and will be out of the car at least 3 months while on blood thinners. And of course, we wish him well and hope that he's back in the car soon. And in still other NASCAR news, congratulations to Russ Zabarowski, who purchased an Xfinity Series race team this past week. Zabarowski is not named a driver for this new venture. Rumors are swirling that it could be his own son, Flying Ryan Zabarowski. Russ is in negotiation with several title sponsors, including Crown Trophy of Flemington. In NCAA basketball, we're down to the Sweet 16, with games starting tonight, and Kentucky, my pick to win it all, remains undefeated. In Major League Baseball, spring training continues, and the regular season will begin on Sunday, April 5th. In the NFL, sad news last weekend as it was reported that former Philadelphia Eagle great Concrete Charlie, Chuck Bednarik, passed away. He was 89 years old. Most often remembered for a vicious hit he put on Frank Gifford that forced Gifford to miss the rest of the 1961 and all of 1962 seasons. The NFL has disallowed Patriots trick plays that stung the Ravens in the playoffs. The New England Patriots took advantage of the rules to beat the Baltimore Ravens in the postseason, and now that's been changed. The Patriots ran some four-man lines where running back Shane Vereen was on the line but ineligible, and tight end Michael Humanuani eligible despite lined up at what looked like a left tackle position. It's not something that anybody has ever done before, John Harbaugh said after the game in January. They're an illegal type of thing, and I'm sure that the NFL will make some adjustments and things like that. Sure enough, it's been done. A player with an eligible receiver's number, which is numbers 1 through 49 and 80 through 89, must line up within the tackle box. If they line up incorrectly, a 5-yard penalty for illegal substitutions will be levied. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day, and maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Working out.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey.